Klaatu, Verada.
We're on express elevator to hell. Going down.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
Now, take another look at the way he moves. Remember, Dailin. Almost like sleepwalking. Look at the face. It's vacant with a hint of sadness. The trunk has lost a bed.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This ain't happening.
He doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
We'll tear your soul apart.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Any zombies out there?
Don't say that.
What?
That.
What?
That. The Z word. Don't say it.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous.
All right.
Are there any out there, though?
They're here.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio, where we talk horror. I am Bane Hellborn, with my partner, the infamous MJ.
Yes, kiddies, we are back.
And we'd like to talk about horror in everything. And we're going to start with something that's called Screams of the Week, which is Horror of the Week. MJ, what have you got?
Oh, my God. Where do we start this week? We don't have Comic-Con this week, so so we can't do all that.
Oh, my God. We could talk a week with that.
But no, we got the announcement this week of something that's bigger than Shark Week. Okay? Yes.
Bigger than Shark Week?
We all know Shark Week starts tomorrow. All right? King of Summer since 87, if you've ever seen the advertisement. But what gets you in the mood for Halloween? Sci-fi, right? Sci-fi's annual 31 Days of Halloween. The lineup has been announced along with their full fall schedulous. And
sweet!
Yes, we are going to start in September. On September the 11th is going to be Haven will premiere their season, their fifth season. God, can you believe it's been five seasons already for Haven?
That's still on my list.
Yeah. I know, right? Because it's just like it's on Sci-Fi. I ignore it. But when the series returns for its fifth season, Haven's protectors are thrust into uncharted waters. Duke is now a ticking time bomb. And yeah, we are kind of spoiling this a little. Fighting to contain the troubles within him, while Nathan faces his greatest fear that Audrey, the woman he's fought to desperately to save, may be gone forever. During last season, Haven rose 11% among adults 18 to 34 and 3% among adults 18 to 49 during its fourth season. If you want to read the book version, it is The Colorado Kid from Stephen King. So Haven's back on September the 11th, and probably, because I've been watching sci-fi a lot in the last couple of days, and I had never in my life, this includes the return of Battlestar Galactica, anything you've ever thought of on the sci-fi channel, I've never seen anything as hyped as this. Z Nation will start September 12th at 10 o'clock. It'll be Friday nights. I thought it was going to be going head-to-head with Walking Dead, but it will come on after SmackDown, if you can believe that. And yes, for some weird reason, the WWE Network, which it goes for $9.99 if you didn't get that on SmackDown, is still on Sci-Fi. Although, from what I understand, that might not be for much longer. At least it will be for the next year, but it might not be too much longer down the road. Because I got a feeling WWE is going to put 90% of their programming on their WWE network for $9.99. Okay? It's $9.99. I think we got the point, WWE, that your service is $9.99. And I've only repeated it half the number of times I heard it in the opening monologue of SmackDown last night. All right, so here it is. Here is what we've got on Z Nation. Z Nation, 3 years have passed since the zombie virus has gutted the country. The president is dead. The United States has pretty much fallen. A team of everyday heroes must transport the only known survivor of the plague from New York to California, where the last functioning viral lab awaits for his blood. Although the antibodies he carries is the world's last best hope for a vaccine, he hides a dark secret that could threaten them all. With humanity's survival at stake, the ragtag band embarks on a journey of survival across the 3,000 miles of the rusted-out post-apocalyptic America. And there now, here we go. This really is an all-star cast. I really don't know how they do this, how sci-fi does this. But they always get a few really big names in everything.
They can afford it every now and then.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, when when NBC pays your bills, right? Harold Perrineau is going to be in this. You might have recognized him from Oz and Lost. Tom Everett Scott from Beauty and the Beast and Southland is also in this. But how about this? DJ Qualls is in this. Do you remember DJ Qualls? And not just on Supernatural. Yes. You remember the movie he was that made really kind of made him famous?
Oh, what was the name of that movie?
Road Trip.
No, I was thinking of something else.
This was back when... No, it's not the guy from Zombieland.
No, not that one.
This was back when Tom Green could do no wrong. America was really out of their mind. It was a Tom Green movie, and DJ Qualls was the guy that went after the really big black girl. And it's like, it sticks out in my mind because there is one scene where, he's talking about having sex with her, right? And then he goes, she even gave me her panties. And he pulls out. He pulls it out, and one of the guys goes, did you kill a cheetah? It's like, yeah, that's how I remember that movie. That's about the only scene I remember that. Well, the curly-haired dude, who I think now is on, it's a show on USA, that I don't, Royal Pains. I think that the curly-haired dude from Road Trip is that guy. He had one scene where he was smoking weed with the old man, and the old man would call him a pussy.
Of course.
Yeah. A couple other names that are in Z Nation. Michael Welsh, which all the Twilighters will be happy to know. He has work. Keltia Smith from the Bernie Mac show. Yeah. Anastasia Barnova from The Darkness 2. She'll play Addie. Russell Hodgson from Big Fish as Doc, and Keith Allen from Rise of the Zombies as Murphy. Carl Schaefer, who did Erie, Indiana, and Eureka, and every other thing that actually got a rating more than one on Sci-Fi, will be the executive producer and showrunner, while John Hames, the guy who did Universal Soldier, Day of Reckoning, will direct the pilot. The series is produced by The Asylum, who did... Sharknado, and sold internationally by Dynamic Television. And don't we have Sharknado news?
Sharknado 3 coming out next year.
Sharknado 3 coming out next year. And if we are to draw anything from the trailer, or not the trailer, but they call them, for overseas friends, yeah, they'll call them trailers. But for the ad we've seen... I'm guessing it'll be sharks in outer space.
Oh God, no!
I don't know. Anyways, let's move on to I think.
Let's please move on.
If Shark Week is king of summer, 31 days of Halloween is king of fall.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Starting October 1st and ending October 31, the 31 days of Halloween, will unleash nearly 600 hours of blood-curdling programming featuring the 10th anniversary Ghost Hunter special. Weren't they, was that the one that got in trouble a couple of years ago? For,
yes.
Yeah, faking a couple of things, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Original movies Dark Hall and Finders Keepers. Please don't let that be a version of the game show Finders Keepers.
I don't think so.
Yeah. You realize there are people that are under the age of 25 going, that was a game show? Yeah, it was exactly. Actually when we were kids. In a wide array of spine-tingling thrillers, including the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 2003 remake, and The Reaping.
A tribute to Marilyn Burns.
Yes, and we'll get to Marilyn in just a few moments. If you're wondering about certain entities, Town of the Living Dead, the series premiere is October 7th. So we have more zombies than you can shake a stick at on Sci-Fi. About to become the zombie
coming out everywhere.
Yeah, about to become the zombie channel. The colorful folks of Jasper, Alabama. Hey, I live in the Southeast. I can do that. Are determined once and for all to complete their zombie movie, 33 Days Dead, now 6 long years in the making. Based on a town urban legend, their film centers on a group of friends trying to survive the zombie apocalypse in rural Alabama. Pow!
That's
series,
trouble.
Yeah. Pow! The series follows the intrepid and motley crew of amateur filmmakers as they struggle against every obstacle imaginable to get a final cut of their film, which could someday become a sci-fi movie. And sci-fi, they put it S-Y-F-Y, so I'm guessing Town of the Living Dead 2 will be their movie.
Of course.
Yeah. The production company is True Entertainment. Yeah, you've probably recognized them from their wonderful, groundbreaking work on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Ew.
Yeah. Ghost Hunters. Season 10 premieres on Wednesday, October the 8th. This October, Sci-Fi's longest-running unscripted series, Ghost Hunters, celebrates two landmark events. The 10th anniversary and its 200th episode in the 10th anniversary. That'll be the one on October 8th. The TAPS team traveling to Brunswick, Georgia's Old City Hall to investigate claims of paranormal activity. I can talk, folks.
Paranoia.
Yeah, paranoia activity. Said to be sparked by a 19th century shooting death. Now, later in the month, Wednesday, October 22nd, that will be the 200th episode. And they're going to return to one of their favorite haunted locations. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't this the location that got them in trouble? The Trans...
I think it might be.
Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in Weston, West Virginia.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've been there like 8 times. So...
Of course.
Yeah. Additional new Ghost Hunters episodes in October will be at the Elizabeth V. Edwards Elementary School in Barnegat, New Jersey, the historic Clay County Courthouse in Glen Cove Springs, Florida. Also, on October 29th, they'll be at Cincinnati's Music Hall. Or Ohio's Cincinnati Music Hall, I should say. That was...
Right. Get it right.
Well, folks, that was my dyslexia. Or as I like to call it, Lysdexia. Kicking in there. All right. Just a few more here. And this one's good. This one might be another cameo fest. Dark Hall, an original sci-fi movie. Yeah, probably a cameo fest. A team of secretive guardians transport a deadly creature and its half-human sister to a secure location, but the beast escapes and threatens to fulfill a prophecy by destroying the world.
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. Dark Hall stars Tom Sizemore.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Rick Ravolino and Evelina Marie It is a production of Synthetic Cinema International. You know it's not international, right? It's international.
Been exactly
corrected on that a few times. Later in the month, Finders Keepers. This is an original sci-fi movie, which could also turn into a cameo. Every time I see original sci-fi movie, that's exactly what I think. It's just another cameo fest. A child becomes obsessed with an evil doll left behind by the previous occupants of her new home.
Oh, you mean Annabelle?
Yes. It'll star Jamie Presley. Believe it or not. So you know a lot of the men folk gonna be turned in on that. And we know why.
I bet they'll be tuned in.
Yeah. I know I will. It's a production of ARO Entertainment. So that is King of Fall, 31 Days of Halloween. And then in November, finally, if I said earlier, Z Nation is probably the most hyped thing I've ever seen on sci-fi. Well, this is number two, Ascension. How long have
Ascension.
We? Yeah, I think we've been talking about Ascension since we started this podcast. Series premiere Monday, November 24th at 9:00. Ascension is an ambitious original drama following a covert U.S. space mission launched in the 60s that sent hundreds of men, women, and children on a century-long voyage across the starship Ascension to populate a new world. Halfway into their journey, as they approach the point of no return, the mysterious murder of a young woman causes the ship's population to question the true nature of their mission. So, there you go. Actually, that sounds really good. I do actually have to admit, that sounds really good.
Sounds interesting.
Brandon P. Bell will be the main star. He will be First Officer Aaron Galt. Brian Van Holt as the ship's captain, William Denninger. Trisha Heffler, of course, who's on every sci-fi show imaginable sometimes, will be Vanna Dillinger, the captain's beautiful, manipulative, and dangerous wife. She will also be the ship's steward. So I'm making an educated guess here that she's probably the murderer.
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it, yeah. But I mean, that this does really sound good. I have to admit, it is definitely something I want to see. And finally, we have another original sci-fi movie, which will come out later in the year. I'm thinking this will come out in December. It's called Mutant World. A group of doomsday preppers emerge from their bunkers 10 years after an apocalyptic meteor strike, only to discover that the world is overrun by crazed mutants. Yes. The people that are in this movie, Kim Coates, believe it or not, is in this. Holly Devereaux from Hannibal fame, and Ashanti, who is, I guess, taking a break from her singing career to begin.
Have you noticed that?
An acting career. What?
That musicians are going into horror films.
Yes. It might be a good thing. That might actually be a good thing sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the time, you know, you're sitting there going, oh, boy. Did you hear earlier that Daniel Radcliffe? I heard this on Air with Ryan Seacrest. I need to point out, no, I do not listen to the radio show, but one of the stations I work for in my radio career is a pop station. We have Ryan Seacrest's show, and I'm responsible. Yeah, but I'm responsible for making sure that show goes in and all that. So they interviewed Daniel Radcliffe earlier this week. I think it was Thursday. And, you know, they were interviewing him about horns and all that good excitement, blah, 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 blah. And he's apparently a huge Sharknado fan.
What?
Yes. Daniel Radcliffe is a huge Sharknado fan and wants to be in Sharknado 3.
I'm sure he'll get it.
Yeah. That actually was on the Ryan Seacrest show for 2 days, by the way. There was a sleaze, I think, on Wednesday where they actually said, yeah, Daniel Radcliffe said something about wanting to be in Sharknado 3. Regretful for not being in Sharknado 2.
Damn.
That's awesome, though. I would pay to have Daniel Radcliffe. Maybe that's what we need to do with our Kickstarter. Pay the money to the people at the asylum to put Daniel Radcliffe in Sharknado 3.
There's a Kickstarter project.
There you go. There's a Kickstarter project right there. Hey, did you see this earlier this week? I thought this was, and no, it's not really news, but I thought it was cool. There was somebody out there, and this was probably Tuesday or Wednesday when I first saw this. But this to me is the coolest thing I've pretty much ever seen in my life. Somebody went out and put the Scooby-Doo gang with the most awesome modern horror villains out there. So we have
this. Was that on Facebook?
Yes, I saw that on Facebook. But believe it or not, there's actually more than what you've seen on Facebook. Travis Faglant is his name, and he did one with Michael Myers, Captain Spaulding, Ghostface, Patrick Bateman, Freddy Krueger, and Jason Voorhees. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Captain Spaulding and Jason Bateman. Patrick Bateman, sorry.
Patrick Bateman. Jason Bates. Jason Bates. Is he related Jason to Voorhees, Master?
Yeah.
Master Jason Bates. There you go. Oh dear. Yeah, I'm looking at the thumbs, and yeah, there's the Patrick Bateman one. I kind of want that one framed. So if anybody can make that happen,
that would be cool.
I would love a framed celluloid version of the Patrick Bateman, because he's running. If you haven't seen the Patrick Bateman one, it's if you remember the scene in American Psycho where he's chasing the prostitute, completely naked except for his socks.
Naked and yes. Covered in blood.
Naked and covered in blood. Just how I am just about every night.
Chainsaw.
Yes. Chasing him with a chainsaw. I like the one with Freddy Krueger as well. Freddy sort of sneak up on Daphne. Oh.
Yeah, he was sneaking up on Daphne with the claws in her face.
And then there's, that's from Halloween right there. And yep, you're going to Camp Blood, ain't ya? You never come back again. It's got a death curse. You meddling kids. But you know what really sucks, though? Speaking of Scooby-Doo.
Which part?
No, I mean, this is speaking of Scooby-Doo in general, is, you know, they still haven't found Casey Kasem's body yet?
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
What a whack job that his wife is. I mean, seriously, she's like a... And if she ever listens to this podcast, she shouldn't sue us. But seriously.
I don't think so.
No, seriously. I think she's a whack job.
Of course she is.
I mean. Don't worry, I'll edit that out.
Okay.
But no, I mean. It's just weird. She just takes the body and runs. There needs to be a song about that. Go on, take the body and run.
That's another country song.
Yeah. She took my heart and then my body. And my dog still sitting on my porch. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did I mention that I do country music on Sundays?
Ew.
Yeah. Ew is right. Well, I guess we can't put it off any longer. There were a couple of big losses this week. And actually, this one's, you know, happened a few days ago. Menachem Golan.
Menachem.
Sorry. I can't read. You know what the worst thing is? Never learn how to read.
Is that true? Yes, except for the reading part.
Yes. Yeah. Party on, Wayne. Oh, yeah. We just went there. The Israeli filmmaker mostly dabbled in the world of action, but as most people know, he formed Canon with cousin Yoram Gobles, or Gobles, depending on how you want to pronounce it, who produced films such as New Year's Evil, X-Ray, or
Did
I think...
Did you see that one?
No, it's hard to find. Or at least it is. It's hard for me to find.
Netflix, baby.
Oh. Well, that might be the reason. kidding. X-Ray, or as some people may know it, Hospital Massacre. The Tobe Hopper films, such as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, Invaders from Mars, and Life Force. But of course, his most famous movies are in the action genre. Delta Force, American Ninja, and all the Death Wish movies.
Oh, yeah.
So the man who gave us Death Wish is now dead.
On death's list.
Yes. All right. So I guess that brings us to the bigger news of the week. Now this broke, what, Wednesday? I think it was?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, you've probably got more on this than I do.
Marilyn Burns.
Yeah.
From the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Sally Hardesty. She died August 5th, and she was only 65.
Yeah, it's very surprisingly young.
Very young.
Very young, yeah.
And she was recently doing the horror conventions.
That's right, she was, yeah.
Yeah, she was doing it for the last couple of years.
Wow. I don't know how we've lost, you know, several big names in the world of horror the last 2 weeks. I mean, this is getting pretty, you know what I mean? This is getting pretty bad. But I mean, you know, a lot of the good horror movies, though, you know, were made when we were kids, and unfortunately, they were adults at the time, and you know, we're now in our mid-30s, so I guess, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this. Don't worry. I'm rambling at this point.
And then their legacy is getting destroyed because of all the remakes.
Yes, which is absolutely sad, pathetic.
And that's another topic for later.
Yeah, that's definitely something we definitely need to hit every once in a while. Is that's one of our biggest pet peeves. Yeah. So anyways, that's really what's going on in the world. I did read that Lionsgate is finally going to put out all the Saw movies on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah?
September 28th. They are going to have a Saw box set September 28th.
Oh, boy.
So that ought to be fun.
Well, I have all the Saws on DVDs.
Yeah. Well, now you can get them all on Blu-ray.
I don't have Blu-ray.
I know. We have been toying with the idea of doing our Saw special that week. So we might,
absolutely.
We might do it the week before, but you know what I'm counting down to?
What?
October 7th.
Ooh.
Yes. October 7th, because make that 4 of your favorite box sets will be available October 7th. Save your money now. The Crow is October 7th. Wes Craven's Dracula, October 7th. The 5-film Prophecy Collection, October 7th.
Whoa.
And all 6 Hellraiser films.
Wow.
October 7th. Save your money. You're gonna get broke. All right? You're going to be broke.
Until the end of the year.
Until the end of the year. That's, you know, that really, that will start the quote-unquote Christmas shopping season.
Christmas started in January, man.
Yeah, no, Christmas started the day after Christmas. But yeah, you have Hellraiser, Prophecy, The Crow, and Wes Craven's Dracula coming out on DVD. Box sets, October 7th. Also October 7th, Blood Valley Seeds Revenge will be on DVD as well. We don't really have to talk much about that. Robert Englund.
Yeah, because I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, neither have I. Robert Englund has a new DVD coming out October 28th called The Last Showing. You know that or not. Have you gotten your hands on a copy of Robert Englund's book?
No.
Well, that's what we need to get. We need to go down to Barnes & Noble and get ourselves a copy of Robert Englund's book.
And have him sign it at convention.
Yes, he's actually going to be at a convention, I think, this week. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the one in Florida, right?
It's either that one or Connecticut Horror Fest. But I think you might be right. I think he's going to be down in Florida this week.
Yeah, there's a thing down in Florida.
Yeah, isn't Tampa's Comic Con this week or something?
Something.
Yeah, there's a Comic Con every week somewhere.
All over the nation.
All over the nation. There's one in Myrtle Beach too, if you can believe that or not. It's not very big.
Yes, I do believe it.
Yeah. It's not very big, and I've never been to it. So I'm gonna have to check that one out in Myrtle Beach. But here's Robert Englund's new movie, October 28th. So anyways, here we go. Movie night turns deadly when a deranged projectionist, Robert Englund, cast one unlucky couple in his twisted film. By luring them through a gauntlet of increasingly deadly traps, the sadistic director is determined to make a movie truly to die for. And believe it or not, Robert Englund will be not in makeup. So, there.
He's been in a few independent films where he's not in makeup.
That's right. He's still angry, by the way, that he wasn't putting the Friday the 13th remakes.
Really?
Yeah, he's still angry about that.
Huh.
So, okay, if you want good Japanese horror, or I guess good Asian horror, Red Knights is coming to DVD on October 21st. Or during the reign of the first emperor of China, an ingenious torturer concocted an elixir that paralyzes its victims' limbs while increasing the sensitivity of their nerve endings tenfold. Kept in a jade skull, the elixir could provoke sensations in indefinite variations, everything from the erotic caresses to the appalling lacerations. Haunted by the desire to experience the extreme sensations caused by the elixir, the executioner kills himself with his own poison, intensifying his death experience. His pursuers never found the skull, which has been concealed within a large imperial seal. But the curse of the jade skull, responsible for its creator's death, will endure with the seal, bringing misfortune to all those who possess it until today. So Red Knights originally came out in 2010 in Japan, I believe. And it is now coming to the United States on DVD October 21st. So there you go.
Direct to video.
Direct to video. All right, so that moves us from the Screams of the Week on to our classic movie of the week.
And you wanted to do something different.
Yeah, because one of my favorite actors got his own day on TCM. And that, of course, Jimmy Stewart. And no, that was not an imitation of Jimmy Stewart. Because I can't do one. Do you know anybody who can do a good Jimmy Stewart? Everybody's got
No, not here.
Everybody's got a bad Jimmy Stewart. But,
because we're not the man.
Yeah, exactly. We're not the guy going, Clarence. Anyways, so Jimmy Stewart got his own day on TMC, Turner Classic Movies, TCM. TCM. Okay. If I didn't sing it like PBS, I never would have remembered it. So we wanted to go back and discuss or throw around two movies. I kind of wanted to do Rear Window, but I liked your pick better. Vertigo is our
Vertigo,
classic.
Yeah.
It's our classic movie of the week. And I mean, what else? Everybody says it is the worst Hitchcock film made.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I really wasn't a big fan of The Birds. I'll be honest with you.
The Birds, eh.
Yeah, I mean, if you really wanted me to pick a bad one, by the way, there is no such thing as a bad Hitchcock movie. But
no, there isn't.
But The Birds, I think, for me, was just, it wasn't, I didn't like it, okay? Wasn't a big fan. So.
Well, for one, the whole idea about birds attacking people.
Yeah, it just seemed very far-fetched and... It just seems like a movie, and maybe we're spoiled. You know, we live in a world now.
Well, we might be.
Yeah, well, we live in a world with CGI animation all over the place. But if there was one movie that screamed for CGI animation, it was that movie.
Yeah. And they did not have the technology.
They did not have the technology, and that must have been a pain in the butt. Okay, well, yeah, and the storyline of this movie is that John Ferguson, nicknamed Scotty, is a retired San Francisco police detective who suffers from
acrophobia.
Thank you. It looks like arachnophobia to me. Okay, and Madeline.
It does. I can see where you did it.
Yeah, and Madeline. Yes, I had to edit that out. What is this talking about? Sphere spiders. I actually asked that question. Good thing for editing. And Madeline is the lady who leads him to high places. A wealthy shipbuilder who is an acquaintance from his college days approaches Scotty and asks him to follow his beautiful wife, Madeline. He fears she is going insane and maybe even contemplating suicide because she believes she is possessed by a dead ancestor. Scotty is skeptical, but agrees after he sees Madeline. And, you know, it goes through the movie San Francisco. The budget of that movie, it actually made money. A lot of people don't realize.
Of course.
It made money, but it made money when it went to video. It only made But it's the truth, though. It only made $1.7 million. Most of that opening weekend, which was 22nd of November, 1966. The budget of that movie was $2.47 million. Then it went, you know, it really became, it wasn't big and popular in the theaters. But do you know that movie, as of 1998, has grossed $15 million?
Seriously?
Seriously. Worldwide, wow. It's grossed $25 million worldwide.
Damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, like we said, it wasn't big in the theaters, but it became a cult classic.
Yeah, of course.
And opening weekend, if I can find it here, opening weekend, it was December, it was 22nd of December, 1966. And it was $1.7 million made.
Wow.
So there you go. Yeah, like I said, not big in the box office, but it was huge on video, and it has a big cult following. And I think now that, you know, we've gone back and looked back at all the Hitchcock movies, this movie, I think, was underappreciated at the time, but now it's probably, what would you say, top five Hitchcock movies?
Definitely top three.
Yeah, definitely top three. Some of the other people that were in, of course, you know, like we said, Jimmy Stewart was in it. Kim Novak was Madeline. For those of you who didn't know, Barbara Bel Geddes was Minj Wood. Tom Helmore was Gavin Essler. Henry Jones as a crooner. Raymond Bailey.
Coroner.
Henry Jones as a coroner. Raymond Bailey as Scotty's doctor. Ellen Corby was the manager of the McKittrick Hotel. And what does every Alfred Hitchcock movie have?
Hitchcock as a cameo.
Yes. And this movie was no different. So what was Hitchcock's? This will win you a beer. This will win you a beer. What was Hitchcock's cameo appearance in Vertigo?
He was walking in the street carrying a trumpet case.
Very good. Plays a man wearing a gray suit walking down the sidewalk past Galvin Essler and his shipbuilding company carrying a trumpet case. There you go.
I get a beer.
Yep, you win a beer. So, if you want to know some of the places it was filmed, the apartment where Madeline supposedly lives was the Brocklebank Apartments at Mason and Sacramento Streets atop Knob Hill. Where Madeline jumps into the bay was Fort Point, right there at the Golden Gate Bridge, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
Scotty meets Old Pop Label at the Argonaut Bookshop. So believe it or not, it's still around. And Scotty's apartment. We'll go double or nothing on this. Do you know the exact address of Scotty's apartment?
Oh, I forgot.
900 Lombard Street.
Really?
Yep. 900 Lombard Street in San Francisco. So yes, this movie was shot on location. For those of you who did not know. Yeah. So the movie was set in mid-1950 San Francisco. However, in the 1974 book, The Strange Case of Alfred Hitchcock, Raymond Durgut mistakenly placed the film in Los Angeles.
Of course.
So, and if you're wondering how Scotty got down with the rooftop, well, get in line, because we don't know. Well,
exactly.
Yes, I was about to say, do you remember the final scene of that movie?
No, I don't.
Scotty's hanging from a gutter.
Oh.
Yes. So there you go. Vertigo.
Vertigo
is our movie of the week. I feel like
Hitchcock was just so good at the psychological horror.
Oh my God, he was. I mean, you go back to the famous, you know, Psycho.
Was a mind spinner.
That was a real mind spinner, and I mean, when we talk about psychological horror and Hitchcock, not only does he do it to the people, but he does it to the actors as well.
To get him in the role.
Yeah, to get him in the role. Remember, what was it? Going back to the famous Psycho. I mean, was that rehearsed? I don't even think that scene was rehearsed, was it?
I'm not sure.
That was really good. I think there was another thing of Rear Window where he wanted Jimmy Stewart to be in the wheelchair for like a week before they started filming on that, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. So what else we got?
Well, I'm going to talk about a book.
Ooh, we have books this week. Awesome.
I read a lot of Kindle e-books. And I've chosen The Vampire Hunter's Daughter.
The Vampire Hunter's Daughter.
By Jennifer Malone Wright.
Okay.
There's 6 parts to this story. And it's all about a vampire hunter's daughter who didn't know about it until her mom was killed. And she gets taken to her grandfather, who lives in a community of vampire hunters.
Nice.
And she finds out she's half vampire, too.
Ah, that's where we get the ever so nice plot twist, huh?
Yes, a definite plot twist. So she goes through training.
Mm-hmm.
And the vampire hunters have a goddess who gives them powers.
Ooh.
So the goddess is also thrown in there a lot.
Nice. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's a really teenage book, but it's really good.
Yeah, I've been noticing a lot of that. Like, if you get away from the, you know, the Twilight stuff and the... I'm not saying that the Twilight books weren't good. I haven't read the Twilight books, to be honest with you.
I read the series. I did.
You did?
And I really liked it.
Yeah, I mean...
Better than the movies.
Oh, well, obviously. but, I mean, I like it. I like a lot of those, you know, young teen romance type stuff.
Or young adult, as it's called.
Young adult, thank you. You know, the romance type paranormal stuff. I mean, it's really well written, and it has really good storylines. You know, if you sit down and read it.
Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, just get over the stigma that you're reading a teenage love story. And
yeah, you can't think of it that way.
Yeah, you really can't. Although, yeah, we're not going to my strong opinions on the characters in Twilight.
No, let's not go there.
Let's not go there, because that'll start World War III, I'm sure. We'll never recover from that.
And we could do that for another topic later.
Yes.
I'm writing that down.
You write that down. The abuse episode. This is where we talk about abuse and paranormal relationships. So we got anything else?
We could talk about Hemlock Grove.
We could talk about Hemlock Grove, yes.
What a weird, twisted series.
What a twist. It is a
So I finished season 2.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, I was like, what the hell did I just watch?
That's how it was at the end of season 1 and at the end of season 2.
Yeah, season 1, at the end, I was like, what?
What the...
What the bleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last episode of season 2, I was just there was no words.
Right. But see, that's what I like about that series, is it does actually give you a reason to watch next season.
Yeah.
It really gives you a reason to watch for the next season, because, I mean, it's like you think you know what's going on, and then boom. You have no clue.
You really
clue.
Don't know what's going on.
You got no clue, son.
But, and I would like to talk to the writer and ask him what drugs he was on when he wrote the book.
Oh, I'd love to find that out, too. And I'd love to take them. That sounds like, you know, some drugs I need to be on, especially when I'm on the air. not doing this podcast.
The story reminded me of William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch.
Yes.
You know, you didn't know what was real, and you didn't know really what was going on.
Right.
But I really like Hemlock Grove.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's one of my, but see, that. But you know, we talked about this, I think, on the first podcast. one of my favorite things about Netflix is that it's not this, you know, you get one episode a week where, you know, we have to listen to the hype of, oh, well, though your next episode, you know, if there's a sucky episode, we don't have to wait 6-7 days to see if they make up
for
it.
That's true.
I'm not looking at any series as True Blood, but they released the entire season in one shot, one fell swoop.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, you know, you come off a really good episode. Damn, I got to see what happens next. And it's like within 5 minutes or within, you know, 5-6 seconds, boom, the next episode starts.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that. And if you really don't think that's the future of television, you are sorely mistaken yourself.
Yeah.
But
oh, and speaking of True Blood.
Yes.
Eric Northman's brother is in Hemlock Grove.
That's right. We have a Skarsgård in Hemlock Grove. Yes. Is that his brother or is that his dad?
No, this is his brother.
That's his brother, yeah. Well, Daddy was in a few things with Alex, too, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But yeah, yes, you're right. You're right. There is a Skarsgård in Hemlock Grove.
Which is funny because he sort of looks like Eric Northam.
So what you're saying is he looks more like Eric Northman than Eric Northman does.
Sort of.
Sort of. Yeah.
But like the way younger version.
Yes. Boy, this got awkward real quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, do you have anything else?
We do actually have a couple of awesome announcements to wrap the show up. We are on TuneIn Radio now. So congratulations to us. And we're also on Stitcher Radio, for those of you who don't know. And how about this? They were even nice enough to send us a few things.
They did what?
Yes, they sent us a few banners to put on the website, in which they are up right now at emztradio.podbean.com. We would like for you, actually, if you wouldn't mind, go through the Podbean page and hit the Stitcher banner that's on the page. That way we know, you know, it sends you directly to the podcast. Yeah, Stitcher Radio now is radio on demand. You can download the free app today. Listen anytime, anywhere. Stitcher is an award-winning free app that lets you listen to all your favorite shows. I need to email them on that because they sent us promotional copy. And it says, Stitcher is an award-winning free app that lets you let us listen to all your favorite show. Yeah, they need nice. To go back and they need to go back and fix that. Sorry, you're dealing with radio people now. We know copy.
Yeah.
And like I said, Stitcher, an award-winning free app that lets you listen to all your favorite shows, plus discover 20,000 news, entertainment, and sports shows. You can create custom playlists, over 20,000 shows to discover. They just said that. Rate and review all of the shows, including ours. Please give us a decent review. Or
yes,
you know,
please.
Yes, please. You know, you can also, instead of emailing us at emztradio@gmail.com, you can even leave us notes there for anything that we need to improve on. But
seriously?
Yes. They can review our show on Stitcher and rate it, and we can actually see their comments.
Hey, so, that's cool.
Yeah. It's available on iOS, Android, Nook, iPad. So, yeah, you can... There's nowhere you can't listen to us now. It's in over 4 million car dashboards as well. You know, that's one of the bigger things, is these quote-unquote smart cars. You know, some of them have Pandora, Pandora in them now.
Yes,
some of them have Stitcher in them. You can also, Stitcher, by the way, is also on, I know it's on Xbox. I think it's also on PlayStation and the Wii. So.
That is so cool.
That is awesome. Yes, it is. It's on demand and on the go. No downloading, no syncing, no wasted memory. You can stream your favorite podcasts. And if you don't have Stitcher, go through the banner on our website. You can download it free today at Stitcher.com or go off to your favorite app store and get it. So there you go. So thank you.
You are simply amazing, MJ.
I know, right?
We got everywhere.
I'm God. What can I say? And if you believe that, but yeah, I wanted to share
Please
that.
Please leave it in the comments. Yeah.
So I think that's, and yeah, we're going to let you in a little inside baseball. I think what I'm going to do now is after Screams of the Week, I'm going to cut this as a commercial this week. So
okay,
we will
that'd
actually
be good.
Have a commercial in between. So I know I hear a few moans already, but yeah. Please do. Please go through the EMZT Radio website. If you're listening to this on something else, it's emztradio.podbean.com. And click on the banner because eventually, you know, that leads to nice things down the road. So I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. It's a shorter podcast than normal this week, but we're not going to promise music. Until we can actually get the music on.
Yeah, that's still a work in progress.
That is definitely still a work in progress. So I guess that means
I've sent out tons of requests.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just waiting for answers back.
Yes. So again, if you're an unsigned band, if you're an indie director or even a mainstream director or an author, get in touch with us, emztradio.gmail.com. We will put your book, put your film, we'll you know, talk about your music, your book, your film, whatever you got on your mind. We will definitely interview you, discuss it with you, whatever.
Or discuss it in general.
Or discuss it in general, yeah. You don't even have to come on the show. Just let us know. And we will discuss about it, talk about it, and maybe get a little extra interest for you.
Definitely.
So I think that'll wrap it up. Let's get out of here, BH.
Thank you for another episode of MZT Radio.
Absolutely.
And tune in next time.
Yes, next time, kiddies.
Now I'm feeling zombified. Face is white. And my house is tired.
Girls, watch out for those weirdos.
We are the weirdos, Mister.
They look like psychos. Is that what they look like? They were vampires. Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are.
Anybody else wonder who the hell opened that door?
Those people back there, they wasn't normal. Normal folks, they don't spit out bullets when you shoot them.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
When a man's jawbone drops off, it's time to reassess the situation.
It's game over, man. It's game over.
Everybody dies. But us, we gotta carry on and plan the sequel, because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.